some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away.
Roger Fitzgerald headed out to Pasadena to find Dr. Henry Winslow in a private room at the Shady Acres Hospital. And as expected, he was in a catatonic state. Speaking to one of the nurses, Roger established that he was the first and only person outside the attending physicians to pay him a visit. Winslow was not exactly what Roger had expected. The man looked fit, muscular, albeit weathered, and sported a deep tan. He seemed to respond to being spoken to. His hand and eyes twitched, but he didn't wake up. At his bedside table, Roger found a Bible and a torn and tattered notebook with handwritten entries from 1949, February the 15th through to June the 25th, to be precise. It looked like there were maybe more pages in the book, but only the front half of it remained. Wally, the orderly, said that the book had had to be prized out of the doctor's hands when he was admitted. The notebook's contents were dated diary entries that read as follows. 15th of February, 1949. I got a call today from PETA Pacific. The Sentinel Island finds are finally on U.S. soil. Pacific Oil's bonded warehouse number 149 at Long Beach. I told him to ensure that they're kept in a secure zone and was assured that this would be the case. 16th of February, 1949. Bad dreams are back for the first time in a month or so. Still the same shit I saw on the island. Hopefully it's just a memory being awakened and nothing more. I was thinking of calling Jack, but left it alone. I just get another lecture. February 28th, 1949. Horrible dream of being devoured by that statue. Maybe O'Malley was right all along. Or he was just a fucking coward. 5th of March. Story in the Herald this morning. A Pacific Oil night watchman ate his gun. He was stationed at warehouse number 149. Does this mean anything? God, I hope not. March 15th. Another death in the papers this morning. Trucker, Sheldon Harris, killed a prostitute in Norwalk and was quickly found in Portland. Last drop-off before the killing was warehouse 149. Coincidence? March 17. I visited warehouse 149 today. The finds are all secure. People there seem quiet and subdued, though, and no one to talk about Haynes or Harris. The shadows seem darker and longer near the artifacts, or maybe I just imagined it. I've got to speak with Director Heaton about getting this stuff out of here pronto. March 18th. Mark Heaton is just a useless paper pusher. He's still prevaricating about the Treasures of Hidden Thailand exhibition going ahead in 1950. Maybe I got a bit heated with him. Maybe. The finds are still at Long Beach. He said there'll be space at Alameda in a couple of weeks. Told me to calm down. Yeah, right. March 19. I removed the golden idol from storage and gave it to Getty's man, Edward Grant, for his collection. He said something about Fox Pictures that I didn't quite understand, but guy is at least dynamic in men. Whatever. As long as he's out of that damn warehouse. March 23rd. More dreams of the island. Taki and his guys. And that damn Chow priest. Yeah, everyone's laughing. Except me. March 31st. Another bizarre death in the papers. Pacific Oil Auditor Norris Kennedy killed his family. I need to make some inquiries to see if there's a Long Beach connection. I dreamt of the priest again. He was conducting some kind of ceremony, and I saw the statue move. It's just a dream. Just a dream. You're an aviator, damn it. Pull your shit together. 2nd of April. Slept a dreamless sleep for 2 days straight. I didn't realize I was so tired. But I feel a lot better than I did. April 20. Heaton called. At last, there was space at Alameda. I spoke to Pete, arranged for transportation as soon as possible. I think I might ride shotgun, just to be on the safe side. May 4th. Jesus Christ, what the fuck happened? I seem to have lost a day and woke up at home. Last I remember, I was at the museum of faculty going through boxes. May 25th. I pulled the shroud off the statue today and had a really bad feeling. Now I'm struggling to remember what happened in the last days on the island after that show the Cho put on. Did they really kill those girls, or was it all smoke and mirrors for dumb white men? Thinking about it, the yak looked spooked, although Tacky's face was a mask. I think I'll leave the statue here for now. The rest of the artifacts are being picked up for transfer to the museum tonight. Heaton knows about the wall, but not the statue. So, no harm done if it stays hidden. 7th of June. Just woken up, and it's Tuesday. The last day I remember was Saturday. I stink of coups and feel like I went 10 rounds with LaMotta. What the hell is going on? 11th of June. I spoke with Charlie Bass at the Oriental section. He has no idea what the idol or the statue represent, but he thinks they're deities of some obscure animal-based pantheon. He gave me the name of a guy called Schmidt. He's some expert on world religions and obscure pantheons. I'll write to the man tonight. June 18th. The statue is in the museum basement. Apparently I ordered it transported on the Monday. I don't remember. Am I sleep working? 19th of June. I caught Jonesy on a smoke break. Paid him cash to move statue into the reserve section over the weekend. I just hope Mark Heaton didn't notice. June 25th. I had a call from Kathy. She's dying. Think she only has weeks left. She wanted me to come out to Boston. I can't believe she still loves me after everything that's happened. Apparently my daughter Susan is fully grown and in town here. She works for some studio star. Well, good luck to her. I doubt she has any use for a deadbeat dad like me. Back to Boston? Yeah, I'll have to think about that. That was all the contents of Winslow's notebook. Roger kept it and smuggled it out of the hospital. Meanwhile, John Baldwin had headed home, only to find a cute red roadster blocking his driveway. The cuter driver turned out to be none other than his leading lady from the Three Musketeers, June Allison. Yeah, D'Artagnan and Constance reunited. June seemed keen to remake John's acquaintance, but he decided to keep her at arm's length. She had married the actor and singer Dick Powell in 1945. Powell had built a reputation as a tough guy after playing Philip Marlowe in Murder, My Sweet, and a bunch of other film noirs, and John wasn't looking for trouble of the angry husband variety. June said that she and Dick were separated, and that she was looking for someone to escort her to an exclusive birthday party that Friday night. Whose party it was, she wouldn't say, but there would apparently be many influential Hollywood types there, which might be good for resurrecting John's career. Baldwin knew he was being played, decided to go along with June's game and agreed to meet her at 7 p.m. that Friday.